What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out on this Throwback Thursday. Lots to get to on this show, including our very first guest. That's right. Super proud of this guy. He's just such a hardworking guy in the industry, and he certainly deserves everything that he's had over the past few months. And he is our senior analyst over at FTN. You can catch all of his work over at FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNBets.com. Super happy for him. Super thrilled that he's taken the time to join me on this show. I promise you're going to be able to take a lot away from what he does if you don't follow him already. Dbro underscore FFB on Twitter. That's right. It's Derek Brown, the co-host of the Fade the Chalk podcast, which you should be subscribing to. Him and Adam Pfeiffer, they do a phenomenal job with that show. A lot of things that will just stick with you and help you in your fantasy football leagues, your betting leagues, or if you just like football and you want to sit back and hear two guys shoot this shit when it comes to NFL, they'll do it, and they'll do it well. Derek Brown does a lot of great stuff for us over at FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com. 10 stats to know, quarterback streamers, offensive line, defensive line. He takes a look at like the split tools and which matchups to exploit. And honestly, those tough decisions that you have, just by reading his work, it will help you make those tough calls. When he takes a look at which defensive lines are just going to be absolutely taken advantage of by certain offensive lines. And another one that I really like is just his play calling, the pace and play calling article that he does. He breaks down every single game. So I'll get him to touch on a little bit of that and maybe give us a couple spoilers, sneak peeks of, you know, some matchups that he really likes and maybe dislikes as we head into week 9 of the NFL. That's right. We'll preview tonight's Thursday night football game between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are going through something, aren't they? I mean, all the injuries that they've had from the beginning of the season with Debo Samuel, and then the latest with George Kittle and Jimmy Garoppolo, and then COVID absolutely running through their locker room. A couple guys cannot play tonight. I think the game should be pushed back. I mean, Kendrick Bourne, another couple negative tests, and this guy could play, but it looks like it's going to happen. So we'll break down the limited passing options for Nick Mullins in San Fran tonight, and the Green Bay running back situation, and which guy Derek is going to like a little bit more than the other, if he does in fact like Dexter Williams over Tyler Irvin or Irvin over Williams, or we'll see if Aaron Jones can play in that game. But we'll break down that game in a little bit. I'll get some touchdown calls from him. I have some start and sit questions from you guys as well that I'll get his thoughts and kind of rapid fire through some buy lows and some sell highs. There are some tough calls out there that you have to make. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, these Dallas Cowboys wide receivers, where do we have these guys ranked in our rankings, which you can find on FTNFantasy.com. Using that promo code Meany, we'll get you that Fantasy Football Platinum Package for a bit of a discount as we're just past the halfway point of the fantasy football regular season. Playoff time is just a few weeks away. I have some buy lows and some sell highs for you on this show as well before we bring in Derek Brown. And it's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but clearly I have forgotten about that. Oh, get his thoughts on the Miami backfield. Because I know he wants to talk about the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, it is what it is. It could be crunch time for you. You may actually have to start Jordan Howard, but we'll see Jordan Howard or. Maybe we'll play a little Jordan Howard or game for you guys out there who have to maybe start Jordan Howard. Matt Breida doesn't look like he's going to play. It's a little bit disappointing. This is episode 9 of Mean Streets. A lot of different athletes I could dedicate this episode to, that's for sure. A couple hockey legends, Gordie Howe, Maurice Rocket Richard, Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio, Reggie Jackson, a few baseball greats. A lot of quarterbacks wore the number 9. Drew Brees, of course, Matthew Stafford, who has been placed on the COVID reserve list. He could still play this weekend, but we could also see a Mr. Chase Daniel. A Tony Romo, who's quite the golfer and a decent play-by-play guy. Are you a Tony Romo fan in the booth? I like him. I like the way that he just breaks down all the plays. I mean, he's fresh from the league. He knows a lot of the players. Obviously, he's played against a lot of these guys. And I just think the insight with Tony Romo is off the charts. One of my favorites to not only just wear 9, but to play at the quarterback position, the late, great Steve McNair. I loved him as a quarterback. One of my earliest memories watching Super Bowls. the Rams and the Titans back in the day. McNair had that chance at the end. They almost came back and won that game. You know, the greatest show on turf. It was just a phenomenal Super Bowl that will always stick with me. Just a big Steve McNair fan. I like the fact that he ran and used his legs. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember starting Steve McNair in fantasy football leagues. I'll dedicate this episode, though, to Joe Burrow, the exciting rookie out of the Cincinnati Bengals. Burrow ranks second in end zone throws. He's first overall with 330 passing attempts. When you're going to be first overall in passing attempts, you better be top five in passing yards. He's third in passing yards per game. He ranks 21st in passing touchdowns with just 11. That said, his expected passing touchdowns, which is a pretty cool tool you can see, expected fantasy points, all that good stuff over at FTNFantasyAndDaily.com, 17.4. It's second in the NFL. So, yeah, he's been a little bit unlucky. Part of that is, you know, his offensive line and, you know, not being completely accurate for as many throws as he's tossing. But maybe we'll see some positive regression out of Joe Burrow in the second half if he continues to throw. Like I said, he's top two in end zone throws. I like the way Zach Taylor has kind of changed his offense a little bit with the three wide receiver sets and rookie T. Higgins getting involved. Tyler Boyd, one of the most consistent wide receivers in football, coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard campaigns, well on his way to another 1,000-yard campaign among the leaders in end zone targets, red zone throws. And then you have A.J. Green, who, yeah, he's lost a step. He doesn't look like the A.J. Green of old. He's had some up and down games this season, but he's also shown up as well. The reason I really wanted to bring up Joe Burrow, besides the fact that he wears the number 9, he's been a decent fantasy quarterback this season. He may not get Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think right now that belongs to Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert has been unbelievable. But he's been getting dropped in leagues, Joe Burrow. The Bengals are on bye this week. They come out of their bye with a matchup against the Steelers. You know, in super flex leagues, people are holding on to him. But I think if you've been scrambling at the quarterback position, if you're one of those people who've just been streaming from week to week and checking out D-Bro's article as quarterback streamers over at FTNFantasy.com, then, you know, Burrow may be the guy for you in the last few weeks of the season. So after the Steelers, the Washington football team, who've actually been pretty good against quarterbacks, they lead, they have the best, in terms of passing yards per game, they're number one. And they haven't allowed a lot, which is pretty surprising. Like, I had to take a double take at that, but it's true. But the fact that he's chucking like 40 times a game with all those weapons, I think that's a matchup he can exploit. The Giants, the Dolphins, and then the Cowboys week 14. That's the kicker, right? Week 14, fantasy football playoffs. Are you a Josh Allen owner? Do you want to start Josh Allen week 14 against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or do you want to start Joe Burrow week 14 against the Dallas Cowboys? I think you know what the answer is there. So Joe Burrow, if he's been dropped, keep an eye. I think in this day and age with all these injuries and COVID, 2020's been crazy, hasn't it? I think you can get a lot out of just stashing maybe a quarterback. You want to head into your playoffs with a couple, right? Especially if you're in a good spot in the standings. You want to set yourself up now for week 14, 15, 16, week 13. Set yourself up potential bye. Looking at the matchups, you don't want to be scrambling with other opponents week 13, 14 for a quarterback. You want to have a couple quarterbacks. You want to have depth pieces on your bench just in case. And speaking of that, I was taking a look at the most dropped players before I jumped on here today. The most dropped players, running backs, Boston Scott, Giovanni Bernard, and Mike Davis. I think that's a mistake. You can't be dropping these guys. If you're in an 18 league, maybe. We don't know if Miles Sanders and Joe Mixon are going to be ready to go after the bye. We don't know if Christian McCaffrey is going to suffer a setback in his first game back this weekend, potentially back this weekend. You just don't know. You can't have these home run threats just on the waiver wire, especially heading into these last few weeks of the season. You need to have depth pieces on your bench. You need to be willing to cut guys like T.Y. Hilton. Where's the upside in some of these other wide receivers like a T.Y.? What are you going to get out of T.Y. Hilton, a John Brown? What's the point? You need to have these home run threat running backs. Chase Edmonds, going to start to pay off for you. You've waited 7 weeks, boom. Alexander Mattison, one of those guys that I view as a potential home run threat. Dalvin Cook has been already injured this season. He's had multiple injuries over his short NFL career. So he's another guy. I know he had a dead game when Cook didn't play, but he still has that upside, the potential. Minnesota wants to run the football. Schedule is decent moving forward. Alexander Mattison is one of those guys. Latavius Murray, again, I know he's been disappointing. A lot of people have just pumped his tires as a flex play. with Michael Thomas out, and he just hasn't done a whole lot. But Alvin Kamara pops up on the injury report this week, probably going to play. But just in case, you don't know, Latavius Murray has already shown us before that he could put up RB1-like numbers if given the backfield. Latavius Murray is a guy that shouldn't be hanging around the waiver wire. Mike Davis, Boston Scott, Giovanni Bernard. We've seen these guys when the backfield is theirs, and they put up RB1-like numbers. Don't be just dropping them. If you want to flip a Gio to a Mixon owner, or a Davis to a CMC owner, or a Boston Scott to a Miles Sanders owner, now is probably your time. You're not going to get a whole lot in return. I would just probably stash them in case anything happens. So interesting things to talk about on this show. Going to talk about Zeke and get Debro's thoughts on where he has Zeke ranked. I will touch on all this stuff on tomorrow or the weekend's episode. But I have Zeke right now, RB17. I'd play Gibson, Montgomery, Chase Edmonds, and Chris Carson if he plays over him. I like Lindsey over Melvin Gordon. I like Dexter Williams the most at a Green Bay, but again, I'll get Derek's thoughts. I have him as RB32 ahead of James White, Joshua Kelly, ahead of Ronald Jones, I believe. That's Leonard Fournette's backfield. Matt Breida I had at RB23. Again, we'll get Derek's thoughts on this Miami backfield, but it's looking like Breida may not be able to play, dealing with a hamstring injury. Howard is not going to crack my top 30, but you could do worse. I will address that deeper a little bit tomorrow. Tomorrow is a big day for a lot of these injured players, especially Matt Breida. If he can't get on the practice field Friday, he's not going to suit up. Amari Cooper, I have ranked near wide receiver 40. I'd play Beasley, Slayton, Chark, Parker, Crowder if he suits up over him. I like CeeDee Lamb over Gallup. Again, these are things I will talk about on Friday, but I just wanted to address them with you guys today. A few guys that I feel like people should check in on. I ran a buy low, sell high, dynasty buys, who to hold, who to stash, the most traded players, most drop players. I touch on all that stuff every single week over at ftnfantasy.com and every single Wednesday. So there's a few players. I won't give all of them away. I'll tease a couple here. And if you haven't subscribed, you know, now's the time. Fantasy football playoffs just right around the corner. Use that promo code MEANIE will get you the discount. Noah Fant, I wanted to bring up. He's got 16 targets and 10 catches in his last two games since returning from an injury. He's ninth in fantasy points per game among tight ends who have played five games. 7.4 targets per game, just behind Darren Waller's 7.6. He's third in targets per game among active tight ends, behind George Kittle and Zach Ertz. We know Kittle's not going to play for the rest of the year, and Ertz is a couple weeks away from returning. And really, he's fourth in catches at the tight end position per game, that is. He's missed some time. Looks healthy. He looks good. Marquise Brown is another one. I don't really target these guys in redraft leagues. They're more best ball guys for me. I don't really like to have these low risk, high reward, low volume, or it's more of a high risk, high reward, but low volume. Like, I don't like to get guys who have three or four targets a game. I mean, he's coming off a game where he had two targets, one catch for 3 yards. Yeah, he had a touchdown. He said four or fewer catches in four of his past five games. He's only hit the 80-yard mark twice, week one and week four, so it's been some time. And the Ravens don't have that high-volume pass attack. I mean, they just don't chuck a lot. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Lamar Jackson, they all had 15 rushing attempts last week. They like to run the football. Squeaky wheel, sure. Brown's talking. He wants the ball more. Use him. Lamar Jackson said it's on him. Would I be shocked if Lamar topped his, you know, Marquise Brown topped his target number in the opening drive this weekend? No, I wouldn't be shocked. Lamar probably throw to him three of the first five throws will probably be to Marquise Brown. That's not why I'm saying to buy low. I like the schedule. From week 11 to 16 is pretty good. Tennessee, Pittsburgh again, tough. But Dallas, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Giants. It's pretty darn decent. It's enough for me to want to check in on Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews as well, for sure. Allen Robinson, just taking a look at some of the playoff schedules. This is the time of the year where you really just need to be looking at matchups. I don't think Allen Robinson is available. You know, there's been some talk about switching quarterbacks and, you know, Mitch Trubisky dealing with a shoulder injury. So I don't think he's going to get in there. I think it's going to be Nick Foles, but it doesn't really matter. Allen Robinson was a top 10 wide receiver last season with poor quarterback play. So I don't think it matters at all. But from week 13 on, schedule, it's prime time. Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. And like Cleveland as well. Prime time. I mean, the Browns have a tough matchup against Baltimore week 14. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty good after the bye. Houston, Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee. Those are all teams that you can throw on. And he's getting dropped in leagues. So I'm seeing Marquise Brown get dropped in leagues and Landry. It's probably shallow leagues. You're playing in the 18 league. I get it. You don't want these guys, maybe. But deeper formats, they're probably not getting dropped. But I think they could be had, especially with Jarvis Landry on a bye this week. Does the Jarvis Landry owner need starts now? Does he need a W right now? I've said this before so many times. Like, this is the time of the year where you can take advantage of desperate owners. And I'm seeing him get dropped in leagues, probably because he's on the bye and he's coming off a 4-catch, 52-yard game. It's only the third time this season he's had over 50 yards. So overall, you know, he hasn't had a great season. And it's a risky buy because he's been dealing with injuries, got the hip and rib injury, among other things that he's had to deal with this year. But he's coming off a season-high 11 targets through week 8. He's the number one option in this passing game, you know, now that Odell Beckham Jr. is lost for the season. So if you make it past that quarterfinal matchup against Baltimore, you can start him against the Giants in week 15 and the Jets in week 16. So pretty good spots there for Jarvis Landry. Dave Montgomery, don't need to spend a lot of time on him. I have been pumping his tires to an extent. I mean, how much can you really pump Dave Montgomery's tires? But last week, I thought he had a pretty good week, 89 rushing yards against the Saints. That's the most rushing yards the Saints allowed to a running back since 2017. They've gone 50 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher, and Montgomery flirted with that. Yeah, he needed overtime to get there, but he's getting a lot of usage, and that's what I like. He played 86% of the snaps against the Saints. That's a check for me. 21 carries, the third most he's ever received. 26 opportunities, that's carries plus targets, the second most he's ever had. So he's getting a lot of volume. Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville from week 13 to 16. Phenomenal stuff. Leonard Fournette, I think I touched on him last week as his stock rising up, but I feel like, you know, the window is really closing on trying to acquire this guy in a tough matchup this week against the Saints, just alluded to their strong run defense. But Ronald Jones had that fumble, and last week it resulted in a season-high 15 carries and 21 opportunities for Leonard Fournette. 6 targets, he's got 13 in 2 games since returning, 9 grabs over that span, short yardage back, catching balls into the backfield, goal line back. Has the bye week in week 13. So I think that could be, you know, a little bit of a reason to bring up to the Leonard Fournette owner. Like, hey, listen, I mean, geez, you need a W week 13. You might not make the playoffs. Can you have a Leonard Fournette on a bye? Can you afford that? Like, who are you going to be able to plug in, right? So those are just little things. Zach Moss, again, another guy that I brought up. They both had 80 yards on 14 carries last week, at least 80 yards. But Moss out snapped Singletary. He's that early down back. He had the 6 red zone rushing attempts to 1 from Singletary. So this is another guy that I would buy. I just feel like the window is absolutely closing there. One guy that I would sell, and this is crazy, because I just saw DK Metcalf get traded in one of my leagues, and I wasn't happy because I wanted DK Metcalf. It went to an owner where I'm fighting for a playoff spot with this guy, and now he has DK Metcalf, and he whooped my butt last week with DK Metcalf on a squad. Who in their right mind would trade DK Metcalf? Everybody out there, one of my close friends had just traded him in that league, and he's saying, listen, it's me. I would trade him. What's your beef? Maybe he was looking ahead at the schedule. Maybe he was looking ahead and seeing that he has Tre'Davious White this week and Jalen Ramsey in week 10 and Patrick Peterson, who already shut him out in week 11, followed by Darius Slay in week 12, James Bradbury in week 13. That Peterson game, I mean, he limited Metcalf to 2 catches on 23 yards. It was a big Tyler Lockett game. It could be a lot of Tyler Lockett in those games. But don't get me wrong, DK Metcalf is an absolute beast. I view him as a top 5 wide receiver. So what are you getting? The return has to be phenomenal. But maybe you can get 3 pieces from him. Maybe you're just really looking at your squad and saying, man, my wide receiver 3 stinks. My running back 2 sucks. My flex play is always somebody random that I'm chucking in. I need more balance on my team. That's a way that you can get more balance on your team. I know it's tough. I know it's tough to even consider trading DK Metcalf. I don't think I can do it, personally. I think he can get by with these matchups. I don't think these guys are going to, they're going to slow him down, but not to the extent where he can't produce our wide receiver 1 like numbers, or at least wide receiver 2. He's been an absolute beast now for 12 games in a row, right? It's usually a touchdown or 50 yards. It seems like a lock, and Russ is cooking. So I get it. It's super tough, but White, Ramsey, Peterson, Slay, Bradbury, that's super tough as well for DK Metcalf. All right. I've talked enough. Let's get Derek Brown in here.
All right. I'm pleased to bring in the very first guest here on Mean Streets. I was talking about him early off the top of the show, an absolute beast. You can check out all of his work, FTN daily.com, FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com. He is the senior fantasy analyst over at FTN. Derek Brown, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, Manny? It's good to be back, dude. Good to be talking. We're going to cover a whole lot in the show, but thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man, of course. Yeah, you and I have been talking every day, but trying to make this happen. So we are just 9 episodes deep. It's taken me this long to finally just get you on this show, but that's no fault of yours. It's all me. So I'm happy to have you, man. And you got to check out Derek on Twitter at @dbro_ffb. You can also check out his podcast, host of Fade the Chalk with, I don't know, is it your better half, Adam Pfeiffer?
I think most people say we balance each other out. So a more sane half. If I'm the person that needs to be thrown in the loony bin, Adam is the person that levels me out.
Yeah, he's great, man. I joined him last week when you were unable to make the show, and yeah, super intelligent guy. It's a great show. You can follow that on social media as well, on Twitter, on the Twitter machine at Chalk Fade. Is there one? I know we're going to get into some plays. We're going to call some touchdowns. We'll preview tonight's game. We have some couple start and sit questions from some FTN subs that we'll get to in a little bit as well. But is there right off the top somebody that you're fading the chalk? I'm hearing a lot of James Conner. Can you actually fade James Conner this weekend against the Cowboys?
Man, I don't think I can fade James Conner. Like, look, I have faded some really, really high on plays this week, year. And sometimes it's worked. Sometimes it's blown up in my face. But I don't think I can get away from James Conner, man. Like, he's going to get the volume. And, yes, I understand all the Benny Snell stuff, and they do weird things at the goal line. I mean, come on, Meany, against the defense that made Kenyon Drake look like he was actually coming back to life, there's no way in hell I can get away from James Conner.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. Okay, so I said earlier, like, all of the things that you do, I couldn't list them off because you're a busy guy, but a few things that you do that I always look every single week. I mean, just the little things like quarterback streams, 10 stats to know. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it's super intelligent when you dive into those statistics and just 10 takeaways really just heading into the week. Look for that over at FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. But one thing I really wanted to just get your insight, and, you know, we have a lot of just amazing tools, as you know, over at FTN. And, you know, these are your babies, really, the offensive line and defensive line. And I've heard a lot of people just come at me and ask me a little bit about what that means. I mean, you're the guy. So why don't you tee that up? And just maybe if there's a team or two that stands out to you when you dive into those tools every single week that you look to exploit.
Yeah, I mean, look, if nobody has checked out these free tools over at FTNDaily.com, I mean, at this point, what are you doing? They're right. Absolutely free. So you can go click on, and yes, I got to give a huge shout out to all our dev guys, Josh, Elliot, everybody for helping to bring this to life. But you can go check out all of the adjusted line yards, second level yards, and I love looking at these, especially when you're diagnosing running back matchups and when you're looking at quarterback matchups, because some quarterbacks, they wilt under pressure. So, I mean, some standouts weekly. We know the Washington footballs don't do a whole lot of things well. They do run at a really, really high pace, and they do pressure extremely well. And Daniel Jones is going to be under duress. He is the most pressured quarterback in the NFL. So they're going to be one of the defenses that I love, absolutely love this week. As well as if you're looking at, we're going to get to running backs and stuff. I know it didn't pan out last week, and I get that, okay? But Daryl Henderson was on his way to smashing the Miami Dolphins in the mouth, and that is what Chase Edmonds can do this week. You look at the Dolphins, they have not been run on a ton this year, but their defensive line is quietly sneaky terrible. Like, they're a bottom of the league in adjusted line yards allowed and second level yards. And you're talking about, for everybody that doesn't know what that means, second level is basically your chunk plays, like getting into the linebackers 5-10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. And even though the Cardinals have not been run blocking extremely well, Chase Edmonds can do that, and he's going to do that all day versus his defense. So for some standouts, that's really what's jumping off the page for me right now.
Yeah, I love it. And I was surprised to see, just diving into the numbers this week, that Miami has allowed 18.6 points per game. It's the best mark in all of football. I was like, wait, what? I mean, because their run defense has been awful, as you alluded to. So I like that. Check it out, guys. You're right. Derek says it. I mean, he said it beautifully. I mean, what are you doing if you're not checking out some of these free tools? It's just a couple of the many free tools and assets that you can just really take advantage of over at FTN. Another thing that you do is pace and play calling, where you break down absolutely every single game. Can you give us a sneak peek of just maybe one matchup that you think, you know, just jumped off the page at you?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about Washington. They're running at an extremely high pace. I think if you're looking at some other games that could surprise them pace, as bad as the Cowboys have been, and we're talking about James Conner, the Steelers, when they've been in neutral script, like if somehow the Cowboys can keep this game at least a little bit close. The Steelers are top 13 in neutral script pace, and the Cowboys are still running a ton of plays regardless of who's at quarterback and how bad they've been. So that game could actually surprise a little bit in pace.
All right, I like that. And quarterback streamers, one thing. You know, you mentioned Jones when you were talking about Daniel Jones in Washington. I saw a stat before I came on. He's 3-0 against Washington and 1-17 against everybody else in his career, which is amazing. I just thought that was, you know, it is the NFC East. It's a terrible division, but it is what it is. I just thought that was an interesting stat. Okay, one more. I got one for you. Quarterback streamers. Drew Lock. Am I too crazy thinking Drew Lock could step in and be in a fill-in replacement for somebody this week?
It's not crazy. I'm with you on the call. I mean, streamers this week, it's ugly. It's absolutely ugly. If Drew Lock is sitting out there, I think he's definitely viable. And I can't tell you that it's going to be pretty. Like, his ending stat line could be. We could see him utilize the tight ends a whole lot in this game. And I know the cornerbacks are bad, but really the way that you attack Atlanta, yes, their outside corners are playing terrible, but they are not good versus the slot. So I think we're going to see a lot of Jerry Jeudy, a lot of Noah Fant, and even some Albert O, considering how bad the Falcons have been. But I want to get one quarterback stream in here, Manny. I think we were a week early on Derek Carr week. He got stuck in the wind and the vortex and the rain and just the tsunami that was Cleveland last week. If I were to tell you a quarterback was going against a defense that is quietly allowing the third most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, they are 29th versus the tight end, and they allow the third most yards and fourth most points per game versus slot wide receivers. Would you want to play that quarterback, Meany?
Absolutely. Man, I was in on Derek Carr. Unfortunately, you're right. It was just the wind, the weather. It was absolutely crazy in Cleveland. And some of the statistics that I was looking at with him, I mean, you look overall in the season, 14 touchdowns, two picks, 262 passing yards per game. Doesn't seem like a lot. It's a career high for him. 7.8 yards per attempt is just below the 7.9. He had that career mark before last week's game, taking some deep shots, spreading it around to a lot of weapons. I think Vegas is an underrated team offensively, and he's always been near the top in completion percentage. As you know, a few years ago, this guy was actually getting MVP votes when he had Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper to throw footballs to. So, I mean, I like Derek Carr. I like the call. I'm glad that you brought him up because I was wondering if it was just, you know, you look at some of the Falcons' numbers, they've allowed the second most passing yards per game, a league-high 20 passing touchdowns, 39 plays, which is the most of at least 20 passing yards, the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Like, checks all the boxes, 29th against pass DVOA. Like, all of the boxes are right there. But at the same time, it is Drew Lock. So I'm with you. I like the Derek Carr call by you. Let's get into Thursday Night Football. Apparently, this game is happening.
It seems like it's on, man. I mean, I know from everything else they've come out and said that, like, there's no further positive tests and stuff like that. So it looks like it's time to play some football, man. And I think for as crazy as it is and depleted as San Francisco is, this game is really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It opened up at 4.5. If you follow FTN alerts on the Twitter machine, you're going to be able to get all of our picks right away because the line has moved to 7.5. And you know, obviously, you'd rather have it at 5 or more than a touchdown if you are on the Packers side of things. The total's at 48.5. There's a lot of different avenues here we can break this down. Let's just start with the Green Bay side of things first. Aaron Jones, questionable. I was thinking, would he get a full workload? But Green Bay's so cautious with their players that if he's playing, he's probably close to 100%. You know, Devontae Adams a couple weeks ago had tweeted, said that, you know, he knows his body more than anybody. He wanted to play a few weeks ago and they held him back. And then he's been absolutely balling out over the past couple weeks. If Jones plays, you play him. You play your studs, even if he's just 85%, whatever. If he's going to get 50% of the touches in this offense, you're good to go. This guy's been a touchdown machine over the past couple of years. If he doesn't play, what do you do with Dexter Williams or Tyler Irvin? Do you just leave those guys in the waiver wire and on your bench, but you could be in a tough spot, man. Do you have a feeling between one of the two? You see Dexter Williams, this guy's got a handful of touches in his career. Tyler Irvin has got a handful of touches this year. It was working with the wide receivers in practice, probably going to catch a few balls out of the backfield. But do you want anything to do with either of these guys, or is this just going to be a Rodgers to Adams day again?
I mean, I think in a perfect world, you would stay away from both. If I got to pick one of them, San Francisco, you do not attack them on the ground. Like, their run defense, and we're talking about the adjusted line yard metrics, like, they are really, really good. They're 10th in adjusted line yards, 9th in second level yards allowed. If you're going to go after them in any facet with a running back, it's through the air. They have been still really good against receiving backs, but they have allowed 2 receiving touchdowns. One was last week versus DJ Dallas. One was week 1 versus Chase Edmonds. If Irvin is out there, he's going to be running routes, Meany, because in his career, his entire career in the NFL, he has 3 pass blocking snaps. So if he's on the field, the guy's going to be running routes. He's going to be catching passes. I don't think that it's – I mean, look, it's not great. You don't really want either one of these guys, but if you got one, it's going to be Tyler Irvin.
I like that. All right, San Fran side of things, there is just so much to unravel. They've been just depleted with – I've never seen a team that has gone through this before in terms of just injuries, and now they're having to deal with COVID. George Kittle and Jimmy Garoppolo were the latest. Kittle looks like he's done for the remainder of the regular season. If you own him, unfortunately, you got to drop him. If you have that IR plus, you can stash him, but you're not going to get him. Most likely, you're not going to get him. I know Shanahan said that Kittle thought he would be ready in 2 weeks. He is a beast, but – initial reports say about 8 weeks for George Kittle. So I think we need to just temper expectations there from George Kittle. But I love how motivated he is to get back on the football field. And then Jimmy Garoppolo apparently is not going to undergo surgery, but he could be sidelined for the next 4 to 6 weeks. He hasn't looked good at all this season. And then the latest left tackle, Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk, who has been absolutely balling out over the past couple weeks, and then Deebo Samuel, who wasn't going to play anyways. And then Kendrick Bourne, all placed on the COVID reserve list. But there's reports that, I mean, Bourne had a negative test result today. And if this game was pushed back 5 days, all of these guys minus Deebo Samuel could suit up. But NFL doesn't want to go that way. They're going to play. And now we're looking at potential Ross Dwelly, Jordan Reed, Jamichael Hasty. I mean, Trent Taylor has always gotten buzz in mini camps and training camps. Can he show up today? Oh, man, what do you make of the Niners here? And if there's no Reed, would you dial up Dwelly as maybe a top 15 tight end this week?
Yeah, I think Boss Dwelly is definitely in play, man. I know that the Packers beat writers are not big fans of DVOA, and they think it's witchcraft. I don't really understand that, not liking numbers and analytics, but whatever, this is where we are. The Packers have not been tested by a ton of tight ends. Now, whether that's pressure, whether that's cornerbacks or just bad quarterback play, because Matt Ryan looked like he needed to be wearing a depend when they played at the Packers. But I think that San Francisco can attack with Ross Dwelly. They are 28th. Green Bay Packers are 28th in DVOA versus the tight end position. They've only been targeted the fewest amount in the NFL with tight ends versus their coverage, 29 times, but they have allowed 23 receptions. So I think Ross Dwelly's in for a lot of work here. We don't really know if Jordan Reed is even going to play. He still hasn't been activated. I've been waiting and watching beat reports to see if that happens. Definitely, if he plays, he could definitely get a lot of work in this game as well. Like, the way this matchup sets up, San Francisco could still move the ball a whole lot. Like, people that are willing to bury them in this matchup, I really think are getting a little bit too cute, because Shanahan can use motion, can use misdirection in this game, can utilize the run game, his running backs in the past. Like, the way you attack the Packers is with tight ends and their opposite corner, not Jair Alexander. So if we're looking at some of these guys and who is going to face Jair Alexander, I think Kevin White is the guy that's probably going to see a bunch of him. I know that we have to go way back, like get in the DeLorean, go way back in time to when Kevin White was actually seeing NFL snaps, because he's been on the practice squad this year, but he played 51 to 53% as left wide receiver previously. He has the athletic profile. I think he slots into that Brandon Ayuk Deebo role this week, which is going to see a lot of Jair Alexander. On the other side, I think it's going to be River Craycraft. He's going to come off the practice squad. He's a possession type of receiver. I think you see Trent Taylor when they do actually go into 11, which is very, very few of their snaps. I think Taylor goes inside, and Craycraft, who is – he's like the discount version, if you want to go the discount dollar store version of Kendrick Bourne. More crafty, more of a route runner. I think he's going to get Josh Jackson on the other side. So I think that San Francisco can attack this defense in a few different ways. Green Bay is quietly bad versus tight ends. Their opposite corner is bad. And they are 32nd in the NFL versus pass catching running backs. So I think you're going to see a lot of all these guys, a lot of Jermichael Hasty and a lot of Jerick McKinnon in the passing game. And I really feel think that like San Francisco could put up some points in this spot.
It sounds to me like you're thinking the Niners could maybe not win this game, but cover the spread.
I think so. I definitely think it's in play.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think Ross Dwelly, it's always risky, but it's a tight end position. You know, last week I felt like he, towards the end of the game, when Nick Mullins came in under center, I mean, they started to move the ball. The game was already out of hand, but at least there were some positive takeaways from that game. He had four targets. He had the touchdown, the red zone look as well. And Jordan Reed, yeah, keep an eye on his status. I think he's more of a riskier play in season-long formats. But as you know, Derek, in his first few games, he was on a bit of a pitch count. He wasn't playing a ton of snaps, but when he was on the field, he was running routes and he was getting targeted, and he's been a red zone beast his whole career. So that's somebody to keep an eye on too. Let's rapid fire through some of these props. Jerick McKinnon over under 27.5 rushing yards.
I'll take the over, barely.
6.5 rushing attempts. You're probably going to take the over if he's going to get to a 28 there.
Yep. I'll take the over.
What about, because I think he's going to be more involved through the air. 21.5 receiving yards, over, under.
Ooh, I would max bet that. I think he's easily going to get, he got that last week. He's going to get it this week.
2.5 catches. Now, this is a lot of juice. I'm seeing on our prop shop, it's up to -162 bet MGM. That could climb. It could get up to -180. He'll really have to lay some juice, but it's got to seem like he's going to catch 3 balls today, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I definitely think. I mean, if you're betting the reception or the receiving yards, then he's gonna catch more than 2. I mean, if we're talking about he's gonna get more than 21 receiving yards, he's not catching 1 for 30 or 40. That's not gonna happen. So we got to take the over on the receiving.
Yeah, these kind of go hand in hand. Jermichael Hasty, I feel like he could they could really turn it over to him. Last week, it's been what, 3 straight weeks really he's kind of filled in for an injured running back on this 49ers squad. I know Tevin Coleman came in, had a couple snaps, and then he was done. Hasty over 15.5 rushing attempts tonight.
Oh, that's a really good line. I'll take the over. What's his rushing yards prop at?
63.5.
Woo! They set the lines really good. I mean,
they honestly, do, right? They know what's going on in Vegas, right? I've said this before. They build big buildings in Vegas. They get it done.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'd probably be avoiding both of those and just taking some of the other edges. But if I'm forced to pick one of them, I'll take the over for both.
And his catch prop is 1.5 and 11.5 receiving yards. He hasn't been a big player over the past couple weeks, but he can certainly catch a ball, catch 2 passes. Seeing how depleted this Niners squad is, I'd feel a little bit more comfortable rocking the over 1.5 receptions and over 11.5 receiving yards as I do the 15.5 rushing yards. So that'll do it from this game. It's going to be an interesting one, man, but I'm looking forward to it. I got Hasty in a couple spots, so I need him to kind of ball out. Maybe he can get a red zone rushing attempt that he can convert for a touchdown for the second straight week. Let's move into the Sunday games, week 9. You and I did this before in the past where we were calling some touchdowns, but we wanted to revisit that. Somebody had said, where did that show go? Where you and D-Bro were always calling touchdowns. So we're bringing it back here, a little bit of a segment. Let's start at the running back position. It's easy to go Dalvin Cook, James Conner. These guys are beasts. They're probably going to fall in the end zone. I won't take any shots at you if those are your guys. But who are you feeling from the running back position going to be able to find pay dirt this weekend?
I think Edmonds is the easy call too. If we're going to go a little bit off the board, and I'm going to go back to this other game, I think Justin Jackson can get in the end zone. The Raiders have been really bad in the red zone against rushing. So I won't be surprised if he finally finds the end zone in this game.
Well, those were my calls, Chase Edmonds and Justin Jackson, James Robinson. These are the 3 guys I feel like are pretty good. Can we get cute with DJ David Johnson? Is that getting too cute? I mean, this is a pretty good spot against the Jets.
It's a good spot. No, I mean, I can't tell you that his ending stat line is going to look good because it really hasn't season long. But no, I think he can get in the end zone here. Jacksonville has been, they've basically been the flow chart versus running backs and tight ends. So I think it's a good spot for him to find 6 points.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a beautiful matchup for Watson, too. I mean, they really, just taking a look at all the fantasy points against, yards per attempt allowed, it's just Jacksonville just kind of is right there all over the place. So, all right,
Wide receivers, who are you feeling?
All right, we're going to go wild, and we're going to get off the page here for a second. Yes. I am actually going to go with two guys that are really cheap over on DK, and I think you find the end zone this week. I think it's Marvin Hall week. The Vikings can't cover anybody, much less can't cover anybody deep. He stepped into a full-time role. I don't know, and this changes a little bit. So I don't think that we're probably going to see Quintez Cephas. If he is the starter, then I would lean there. Really, it's just a matchup, Meanie. It's fantastic. And I'm going to go with Darnell Mooney, man. Like, the Titans are shaking up that secondary. They can't stop anybody. Like, there's rumors that maybe Adoree Jackson comes back. That's still, it's still iffy. I talked to a few Tennessee beat reporters last night, said that maybe he gets activated off the IR. If he doesn't, oh my gosh. Like, the other outside corner for Tennessee is atrocious. Mooney can actually get past them this week.
I like that Mooney call. What do you make of guys like Marvin Jones and TJ Hawkinson? And, you know, you're taking a shot here with Hall, and I like that. You're not coming on here and saying, oh, Stephon Diggs or Will Fuller. But what do you make of, you know, Stafford being on the now the COVID list and maybe Chase Daniel being under center for Detroit? I really liked Hawkinson. The second that Golladay was out, I labeled him a top five lock and loaded tight end. I feel like he could still get a ton of work and ton of targets, but do you downgrade this offense? I mean, you have to, I guess, a little bit with Chase.
Yeah. I mean, look, so part of my take is assuming, because Stafford still, at least it looks like, has a slim margin to be able to possibly play in this game. If he's out, then yes, it's downgrades across the board. I think that you're looking at, they're going to utilize more short area targets, whether it's a running back. So I think Hawkinson, even though it's not a good matchup, would get a boost in that. And Marvin Jones, I mean, outside of Hall, what, he's the last man standing. So in what is still a good matchup, I think you definitely have to temper your expectations, but I would lower it for Marvin Jones and bump it slightly up for TJ Hawkinson.
So one guy that I've been talking about on this show for the past couple episodes is Jakobi Meyers. I don't think he's a great DFS play, but, you know, if you're in a pinch at the wide receiver position, you're in a deeper format, the volume just seems to be there. They're running out of bodies of New England, Julian Edelman not around. Cam Newton hasn't looked great. I was taking a look at Cam Newton's game log. He hasn't had a game where he's thrown more than one passing touchdown since December 2nd, 2018. Now, I know he didn't play a lot last year, but that's still a little concerning. We know he has the rushing floor, but Jakobi Meyers, he's got 62% of his team's air yards over the past 4 weeks. It's absolutely absurd. You see Terry McLaurin, who leads the way on the season, roughly around that 50% mark. It's a little bit of a small sample size, the 4 weeks, and I know he missed a game in there. He's really only been active for a handful of games so far this season, but I think if you want to get nuts with a touchdown call, his catch prop last week, Derek, 2.5.
Ooh.
I mean, he hit that, that's first drive.
I like that. And I talked about Meyers on Fade the Chalk earlier this week as a waiver wire guy, and people were like, what? But if you look at his next few weeks, all the slot matchups that he's going to get, if he retains that slot role, I know that they just traded for, signed, what have you, Isaiah Ford. But yeah, if he retains the slot role, which I think he probably will, and the matchups moving forward, if you're over on FTNDaily.com, you go to our advanced DVP tool for wide receivers, they're really, really nice, whether it's wide like yardage allowed, slot touchdowns allowed. He's got a nice window for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I love that call, Meanie.
Yeah, I think that it's possible that he keeps that slot role at least early on, but Isaiah Ford probably is better suited for it. But they have been taking some deep shots with him down the field as well. He does have a pretty high ADOT over that 4 week span as well, flirting with around 20 average depth of target, which is pretty significant. I'll start at the tight end position. I mentioned my love for Drew Lock. Now, I don't have a ton of love for him. I actually really like Noah Fant. I think overall on a per game basis, I mean, he's fourth at the tight end position in catches per game. He's fifth among tight ends and targets per game. And that's with George Kittle and Zach Ertz hanging around there. So among tight ends, you know, active on Sunday, he's in the top three in terms of targets per game. He looks healthier. Early on, he was getting a lot of targets, finding the end zone. And then over the past couple of weeks, he's got a lot of usage from Drew Lock. So I'll go there. What are you thinking at tight end? I know it's a weak position here, man. We can't get too nuts here, but
it's nasty. Oh my gosh. I mean, look, if you're looking for darts, I think you could easily stay in that same game. Like, if you're in desperation mode, Albert O caught a touchdown last week. Atlanta's terrible. Denver's been running a lot more 12 personnel. I'm going to go back to the Tennessee and Bears game. Jimmy Graham has been getting a ton of red zone work. I think that he is in play this week. It is not sexy. You don't have to like it. You can still rejoice when he scores a touchdown this week. So Tennessee has been bad versus tight ends. I know Graham, and I'm going to give a little bit back up here. I know Graham is a little bit banged up. If there was any way he missed this game, then I would just move straight over to Cole Kmet. I think that he'd get a lot of run. Matt Nagy's talking about getting him more involved in this offense. So if Graham were to miss, I'd like Cole Kmet a whole lot in this matchup.
Nice. And Jimmy's been what you want from the tight ends. You just want somebody who's going to get targets inside the red zone, inside the end zone. So he's right there among the tight ends in terms of just getting usage inside the red zone. That's all we want. We'll get you out of here on this rapid fire through a couple start and sit questions. DJ Chark, in or out on Chark with potential Jake Luton under center?
I think he's still worth a start. Houston is 32nd versus short passing. I, for all the talk about Luton's arm, I think it's short passing, and that's how they get it done.
Antonio Brown, would you start him this week? I know it's all about context, but where do you have him in your rankings? Which, by the way, can be found at ftnfantasy.com. Not just D-Bros, myself, Jeff Ratcliffe, Brad Evans. Those are the guys you really want, let's be honest. But we do our part there and participate in the rankings. Is Antonio Brown a wide receiver 3, a flex play for you, or is he just too risky?
Oh, I really want to see it first. I got to see a week of how his usage is. I mean, look, if you're desperation, sure. But outside of that, meh. Where do you have him at, Meany? Because I'm diving into my ranks. It should be live on the site today. Is he a top 40 guy for you?
I got him like 42. That's about really, yeah, at just 42 out of just, you know, we got four teams on bye. We have, you know, a couple injuries. These Niners guys, like Ayuk, for example, is somebody that I had as like a top 17 wide receiver this week. I mean, so there's some guys that have just kind of, you know, with injuries have just kind of disappeared this week where I have Brown ranked that way, but I don't love it. It's just Antonio Brown. And I know how much Brady likes him. And in that one game that they had together last year as a Patriot, what did he have? Like 8 targets, 4 or 5 grabs, had a touchdown. I know it came against the Dolphins, but you know, if you figure Lattimore is probably going to be on Mike Evans, it's not a matchup that he's been able to exploit. I mean, Lattimore's really had the better of them. These guys have, you know, been duking it out on the field over the past couple of years. So maybe Brown gets a few more looks there. Remains to be seen if Chris Godwin is going to play. So that's kind of where I have him. I think it's a risky play. There's obviously upside there, but there is that chance where, you know, maybe he only plays 20 snaps or maybe he pulls a hammy. Like there is a lot of different variables here when talking about Antonio Brown this week. Speaking of just nasty and, oh man, I can't even say this. Miami backfield, Matt Breida. If he doesn't play, would you dare play Jordan Howard or Patrick Laird? Like, how do you see this shaping up in Miami? And this is just a complete fade here.
If Breida is out, then Jordan Howard's going to garner enough. It's nasty. Good God. Why
I know it's gross, but there was a question on the last episode was, okay, if Breida doesn't play, do I play Jordan Howard? Or I forget who the guy was, but like, should I play Jordan Howard as a guy who potentially just, we saw what he did in the first couple weeks.
One yard touchdown. I think you roll him out there, and I would put him somewhere in the top 36 for running backs. He will probably fall somewhere out like in the 24 to 36 range with no Matt Breida on the field. Like if Breida misses, then Howard's due for 15 probably touches on the ground. Obviously, we know he can't catch anything, but he'll probably fall somewhere like he's like the unsexy Damian Harris probably. So like 15 and he gets into the end zone and he's the top 30 play for you. So, yeah, it's gross, man. I can't believe you do this to me, but, yeah, I play him.
I had to just because of the question I saw this morning before I popped on. I was like, oh, my goodness. I mean, you just never know, right? People are in tough spots so far this year. Okay, true rapid fire, and we'll get you out of here. Jonathan Taylor, buy or sell?
Oh, sell.
Zeke, buy or sell?
Buy.
Chase Edmonds, buy or sell?
Buy. Buy, 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 buy.
Yeah, I agree. Leonard Fournette, buy or sell?
Buy.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, buy or sell?
Buy.
Lev Bell, do you just hold him at this point?
Yeah, buy or hold.
Yeah, okay. Marquise Brown?
Buy.
Murray Cooper?
Ooh, Bye.
Can you start Eddie Cowboy this week? I have Zeke ranked as a RB16 against the Steelers. I mean, he's probably going to touch the ball 15, 17 times. There's not a lot of backs that can do that. Say you play him, but I don't know if I'd play any of these other wide receivers. Maybe Cooper.
Maybe CeeDee Lamb. If Mike Hilton misses again and they get a backup slot corner, then maybe CeeDee Lamb. But I think everybody will gravitate to Michael Gallup, and I think it's wrong.
Okay, and I'll truly get you out of here on this. Austin Hooper, I know you had a bit of a rant.
Yes!
What makes you love Austin Hooper so much, buddy?
All right, so how do you tell me to rapid fire this when I got to give a love letter on him? Oh my gosh!
Rob's probably rolling his eyes. Producer Rob, like, come on, you said we'd get you out of here on this a million times. Just quickly, though, Austin Hooper, why do you love him so much? Is it to do with Odell Beckham Jr.? I know they use a lot of their tight ends.
Yes.
And they run the football, that's it, right?
That's part of it. The other part of it is that over the last three games that he played, he was third in weighted opportunity, third in target share behind only Travis Kelce and George Kittle. The remaining schedule for the Browns, he doesn't face a team that's top 18 in DVOA versus tight ends until week 16, Meany. So what else at the tight end position? We're talking about it's nasty, man. A guy that's going to get seven targets. He's facing teams that are 18th or worse the rest of the season. Why would people not love that?
I don't know. And he was trending up too before he had to miss a couple games. All right, that's D-Bro. Give him a follow on Twitter, D-Bro_FFB. That's why you need to check out his show, Fade the Chalk with Adam Pfeiffer. Listen to it, subscribe. And also a shout out to FTNDaily.com because we are giving away an NFL DFS season pass. I'm not giving it away, but basically because we've lowered the price at $99. So get on that. As this is the time of the year, as you know, season-long teams, unfortunately, you know, they start to just crumble. You've had to deal with injuries and COVID. You can always play DFS. You can even play week 17, and you can play it throughout the playoffs. You're going to be able to get ownership projections, cheat sheets, the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, live streams, player projections, ownership projections, all the good stuff, and all the chats in the Discord chat as well. And I know that you are a heavy player inside the Discord chat. Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Manny. This is a blast.
All right. Take care, guys. Enjoy the Thursday Night Football. We'll catch you tomorrow. Cheers.